Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Happiness Solved with America's happiness coach, Sandy Scarlatta.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. I'm so happy you're here. Happiness Solved is the place where we explore everything you need to become the best possible version of you. This is Sandy Scarlatta, and today I've got some exciting news for our dedicated listeners. We've just launched our exclusive members-only portal. This is your ticket to a world of additional content designed to deepen your understanding and engagement with the Happiness Solved mission. To learn more about all of the exciting benefits, stay tuned until the end of the episode where I will explain in greater detail. For those interested now, head over to happinesssolved.supercast.com. Today is another amazing conversation, so let's get started. Dustin Mosley, such a pleasure to have you on my show. Great to see you again. How's everything going in your neck of the woods?
Awesome. So still living in sunny South Florida. Weather is perfect. So happy days.
Yeah. So for the audience, Justin Mosley is the founder and CEO of Leicestermore. Did I say that correctly?
You did not. That's all right. Great attempt. So Leicestermore Capital.
Leicestermore. So it's that spelling that's kind of like Gloucester.
Yeah. So it's the English spelling. And when I got there, like my wife's English, and I was like, what the heck is that word? But lo and behold, when I started my company, I wanted to put together Baltimore and Leicestershire. And that's why you got Leicestermore Capital.
Leicestermore. Okay. Got it. All right. Because you're from Baltimore, which was great. Yeah. We were just having a conversation about that before we hit record. So we're going to get into what you're doing because I just love everything you're doing and that you've got like educational platforms to help people learn about creating this financial freedom that we're all striving for. Can you just give us a background of your story and how you got to where you are today? Because you're a Navy vet. I mean, you worked on a nuclear carrier, spent 2 years in Japan. You've got a really interesting background. So how did you get into this?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll try to boil all that down into, a really high level. But like you said, I'm originally from Baltimore, ended up going to the Navy, thought I wanted to be an engineer. After spending time in the military, quickly realized that was not the path for me. But I enjoyed it, right? The Navy allowed me to spend a lot of time overseas, see a lot of the world very early on. So after, fast forward getting out, went to college, fell in love with Florida. Met my wife when I was working in Tampa in corporate, and she's English. So immediately fell in love, and she said, hold on, wait, don't get too attached because I got to go back over to England here in a little bit. So when that time came, quit my job and moved to England. I guess I just really enjoyed spending time overseas and stuff and traveling. So I did that for 2 years. We lived over there and I went to grad school. That was my only ticket into the country. Surprise, surprise. Like I couldn't just walk over there. They were like, actually need a reason to be here. And during grad school, that's when I really started thinking about, you know, what do I want to do when we get back to the States? We kind of had a hard time when we were going to come back, and real estate became that vehicle and really the thing that I was passionate about. So started from there and and started kind of building my businesses.
Nice. And as I was telling before we hit record, I've gotten some of your emails and I love, like I was reading one, I remember about a boutique hotel.
Yeah.
That seems like not only like a passion project, but how cool is that? So what is it that drives you to want to do some of these projects? Does it have to do with like your own personal satisfaction or is there like a bigger picture in mind? Obviously financial reasons, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was first driven financially, right? You know, I started off in kind of the multifamily world when I first got into real estate. For people that don't know, it's, you know, buying apartment complexes, right? Big buildings. And it's very much a team sport. And I got into it because I just wanted to go big and it just seemed like a really smart thing to do, right? People always need to live. So real estate housing always just kind of made sense. But I kind of quickly realized in doing that, there wasn't a whole lot of cash flow. A lot of that in real estate, there's so many different ways and different opportunities in the space, but it really, I started to think about what are my actual goals and what I'm trying to accomplish. And then that kind of pivoted me into the kind of, you know, the boutique hotels, single family homes, which I do now, which is kind of, I call it the STR space, right? Short-term rental, you know, putting your property on Airbnb, VRBO, that kind of space. And what that evolved into was, you know, buying much larger homes, creating great experiences. And like the next iteration of that was the hotel space. So finding those smaller hotels that aren't being operated really well, but then giving, you know, a guest a great experience. And what that was for me, it's kind of a cash flow play. I just deeply believe in the ideas of financial freedom and controlling your time. And it's kind of all a hodgepodge of those ideas of what led me into, you know, the space that I'm in now.
Love it. So that's what the strmillionaires.com stands for, short-term rentals or short-term rentals?
Yep, short-term rentals millionaire. I wanted to make it as obvious as possible. Like this is how I became a millionaire in the short-term rental space. And if you want to learn how to do it yourself, we created an education and coaching platform for people that want to get in and do it themselves. So it's really cool. And it's just about community and being around people that don't necessarily think the traditional way and want to find something different than maybe the corporate route or it's simple as we have guys in the program that you'll make a lot of money in, you know, their tech sales jobs or something and want to figure out how to grow their wealth by buying assets, but also shield their income because there's a lot of tax benefits when you buy real estate.
Right. So what are the basics? If you could give any sort of basics of getting into the short-term real estate market, what do people need to understand? If you could drop a couple of golden nuggets.
Yeah. So the biggest thing is it is its own kind of world, right? I think when most times when people think about real estate, I mean, there's just so many different areas that you can get into. But for me, one of the best parts about the short-term rental space is number one, there's a really low barrier to entry, right? Most people only really understand the space from the lens of kind of Airbnb. But for us, you know, it's really about creating, it's like half hospitality, half real estate. So you have the real estate, which is kind of the asset, right? That appreciates, give you all the benefits, but then you have the hospitality side that really will increase your cash flow and allow you to actually bring in a significant amount of money each month when you operate it the right way. So at its core, it's just about getting into something real estate, like as a very easy way. Like if you can, if you're approved for a loan to buy a house, right? Given that you're buying in the right areas and all these kind of things, you can operate the right way. I think it's a really great way for people that want to build wealth in real estate to get in versus, you know, getting into office or apartment buildings. You know, it can definitely be done, but you don't need a team of people around you to do it. you know, you could do it yourself or with a partner, and it can be very lucrative. I just don't believe in the 401k kind of stuff, and, you know, people can feel how they feel about that. But, you know, I like to have control of my destiny, and, you know, just giving to a 401k account and just letting that sit and hoping that I have enough money to retire on is not the path that I wanted to take.
So for you, how has building this empire that you're creating and building, how has that helped you from a mindset perspective in just seeing life differently? Because we all strive for that financial freedom. What has that really done for you? For those out there that are like thinking that that's the be all end all, what has that done for you?
Yeah, I mean, it really has got given me control over my time and effectively my destiny, right? And it's funny, well, I actually think it's reverse, right? Like, you have to kind of start with the mindset first, and that's what helps you kind of be successful in the space. So, you know, I was really big, and I think it's just maybe my upbringing, but also the military, you know, principles like, you know, discipline, consistency. I realized very early on, like, I don't have any true special skills at all. Like, you know, like I wasn't, you know, super doing really well in school or, you know, had any special talents or athletic ability and stuff. Like, I do most things pretty well, but like nothing extraordinary. Right. But I thought very early on, if you're consistent, which most people aren't about things, or very disciplined, you can really get whatever you want. If you're focused, you have a vision. And this was my vision. And they kind of backtrack. A big driving force for that, not only my wife, because she's an entrepreneur as well, but I have four kids. And the idea of like being trapped in the office when there are school trips or games and stuff like that, like I was really committed to like not being held back because somebody else controlled my time. And really, that's what it boils down to. Like, I wanted to have freedom and autonomy over my own life. And that's what this gave to me.
Love it. I'm so happy that you said that. About the mindset. So just to reiterate for the audience, you worked on your mindset and you had a healthy mindset and you knew that consistency was the thing, but then you had your vision.
Yeah.
And it was that vision, right, that you've actually manifested because of your mindset, because of your consistency, right? Because we can have the vision, but if you're not taking action, it's not going to happen. Can you 100%. Talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, 100%.
How you manage that?
Yeah. Like, and so taking action is another one. Like, you know, I think most people dream about what they want. But unfortunately, very few people are actually willing to take the action to go out and get it. Right. And I think, I don't know what the reason is. I probably do understand. It's a lot of time it's fear, right? It's like fear of the unknown, uncertainty, all those kind of things. But what drives me is like, the fear of like regret and not doing something is much greater for me than the idea of like trying something and failing, right? Like, that's why the mindset piece is so strong, because like, I don't associate a failure, and people like to always use these like fancy terms, like you don't fail, like it's just a lesson, or, you know, learn for it. Like, no, it's a failure, right? It's not a big deal. But if you don't associate it with who you are, like me going out and doing something and it not working and I fail, like it's just, okay, I just need to try something else or do something different. So that's a part of the mindset thing, because then it's a disassociation between who you are as a person and whatever failures you may have. You just, it didn't work. So let me try something else. And that was really the pivotal piece of like, okay, I did a bunch of different things before I was able to be successful in this space. But that didn't deter me from continuing to try. And that was a huge thing for me.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you said that, because yeah, I've been doing a lot of work, and this year especially, and just focusing on being conscious, right? Because you're either conscious or you're in your ego. And when you break that down even further, consciousness is love and ego is fear. So we really only have two states of being. You've got fear. And we all know that when you try to do things from a space of fear, it usually doesn't work out very well. And we don't recognize it, but when we're in that flow, that's when we're in that state of love, a state of consciousness. So as an entrepreneur and having, you know, all of your properties and everything, life happens, right? Life happens while we're busy making other plans. And we get curveballs thrown our way. We get unexpected things come up. What is it that you do to help you
kind of stay on track. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to take care of your properties and everything, but you've got this going on over here. How do you manage that with your mindset so that it doesn't stop things and stop that flow that we all, you know, that groove that we get into?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things for me is really just, you know, it sounds cliche, but it's true, right? Like controlling what you can control. And just starting every day is kind of a brand new day. Like I don't know how familiar you are with kind of like stoicism and that kind of philosophy and stuff. And really just not associating, you know, negative or even positive emotions to certain events that happen, right? They're just things. And you, once you kind of realize like, okay, like you can kind of control what whatever situation means or doesn't mean, it becomes a lot easier to kind of manage like the roller coaster, especially in real estate, right? Like you have to take a lot of the emotion. Wow, that's beautiful. Off of doing these things. Like, I don't even know what triggers it. It just does it sometimes.
Okay. For those that are just listening, when Justin said that, all of these like fireworks started going off in the background.
It clearly Zoom just knew that I was saying something very profound. And they were like, you know what? I need to go ahead and celebrate this. But yeah, it's that, right? It's understanding that, you know, if you have a goal and a mission, like just keep pushing forward and you have to just kind of push through. And I deeply believe in that because, you know, nothing worth having is it's going to be challenging and you're going to have to go through stuff and you just have to face it and just attack it every day and understand that the next day you still have to do it all over again. And that's where the consistency piece comes in and the discipline to continue working. Like one thing that really helps me is, you know, people think I'm a lunatic, but I wake up every day, Sunday through Monday, or I guess Saturday through Sunday, at 4:30, and I work out every single day. And that is kind of my way of like controlling the thing I can control. And it helps me. It makes me feel better. You know, there's nothing that I face throughout the day that's harder than, you know, or suckier than getting up when you don't feel like it and getting in a workout, but you always feel amazing after. And it just makes the day feel a lot easier than it would otherwise.
Well, and you've also have one thing to celebrate that you've already accomplished.
For sure.
Yeah. But I love that you had talked about looking at events with no positive or negative. And it's almost like looking at things with neutrality, which can be a challenging thing to accomplish. And what I heard you saying too is that you're building your resilience up by pushing through and going through these things. You're building that resilience up. And I want to just kind of hear your thoughts on this because there's been a lot of talk lately about how, you know, we're raising a generation of children and you've got four kids. I only have one and he's already a young adult at the age of 23. And I can already look back and think, okay, that probably wasn't the best way to handle it, but you know, we try our best, right? There's no instruction manual. But I want to have this conversation because there's so many situations that are coming up and so many parents are doing what they feel is the best thing. So I'm not here to shame anybody and make anybody wrong. It's just how, when you get to be an adult and you're trying to build that resilience, what do you think in terms of with the kids these days, and we're just being overprotective and they're not having that ability to experience any sort of hurt or have an opportunity to even build that resilience muscle, because resilience is a muscle, right? Yeah. You got to build it and you build it. So what are your thoughts? And as a father of four, what advice can you give to help parents to kind of cut that umbilical cord a little bit? You know, a little bit at a time so that we're not raising the generation of kids that are so afraid of anything.
Yeah, no, that's good. Like, I definitely don't do advice because I definitely don't have the answers. But what I do is, you know, it's something I think pretty deeply about. And, you know, I don't know what your exact upbringing was, but like, I know my children are growing up in a very different, you know, environment than I grew up in. Right. And I think some of what has helped me become so resilient and just be willing to be relentless, because that's what I really call it. It's like, no matter what's going on, I'm going to attack every single day, was a lot of, you know, the struggles or, you know, challenges that I grew up in. Whereas my kids don't necessarily face those, but I'm still conscious in the aspect of like, you know, forcing them to do things that make them uncomfortable. I think we do live in a society now where, you know, even in the verbiage we use, the school systems, it's almost this narrative of if something makes you feel uncomfortable, that gives you the right to tell somebody to stop doing it, right? And right. I really teach my kids that, like, that's not the way we handle things, and you need to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And it's a lot easier said than done, but I think it's really important that they do that. And that's what I try to do. But, you know, but it's tough, right? Like, you know, I grew up in Baltimore running around, and definitely not the safest environment in the world. And we stayed out until the lights came on, and maybe I stayed out past the lights came on. Right. And I live in, you know, Jupiter, where I don't even let my kids out of my sight. So I still will participate in some ways with kind of that, you know, not necessarily helicopter parenting, but in some ways, yeah. Right. Well, like, you just, because you're just conscious of it, but I do try to put them in situations where I let them figure it out and then talk about it too. I'm a real big believer in communication and them being able to express themselves, because I want them to be able to come to me. And even if I want them to figure it out, like, I want them to work through that. What does that mean? Right. Like, and also help with their, you know, self-talk. Like, one of my biggest things, or I think people struggle with, is like the confidence thing. And if you build confidence in yourself and trust yourself, I think that helps out with all of those things down the road. So it was a bit of a tangent about a bunch of stuff, but it's tough for sure.
Oh yeah. No, you said so many great things. And I think the confidence thing is so, so important. And I know today with some of the athletes that I work with, and even when I'm, you know, watching any sort of sports on television, that's one of the things that you see, that even the most elite athletes out there are still struggling with their confidence. And so I always say to anybody that I talk to, it's like, well, if elite athletes struggle with confidence, why do you think that you wouldn't have to spray? Because it's just part of our human nature. Like, we all. So what is one golden nugget that you can drop of how you help yourself to keep building that confidence? Because sometimes it is a daily thing that we have to keep building ourselves back up. So what do you do to build that confidence up in yourself?
Yeah. That's a great question. I'm really big on just positive self-talk. And also, it's weird. I've had this conversation with my wife. We talk about these things with my brother. And it actually goes a little bit of, I guess, conventional wisdom or speak. But like, I actually don't believe in the idea of like being humble. Like, not being arrogant, but this notion of like, we should never celebrate ourselves or, you know, talk highly of ourselves is something I just don't believe in. And I almost teach my kids that too, right? Like, you know, at the end of the day, you have to rely on you to be your biggest cheerleader. Because if you don't, you can't look for it externally. So, and that's something that helped me out tremendously. It's like, I don't need you to believe in me because I believe in me. And I think that's really helped me out, if probably more than anything else, because now I'm not worried about how you feel about me or waiting for your approval. It's purely, you know, I know I'm going to do it, and, you know, either I'll show you or you can come along and enjoy the ride with me. You know what I mean? So it's an interesting way of kind of living life, and it's helped me out, and it probably makes me a lot happier than most people. And I just enjoyed the journey, and I know that I'll figure it out. And that comes from the kind of internal, and I'm not looking for it externally.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And you said so many great things there. And it is important, because I feel like, I know for me, in the generation that I was raised in, you don't talk about yourself because then you're bragging.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, she's just bragging about herself. Well, no, you know, it's so important to, in order to build that confidence, to be proud of what you've accomplished.
Yeah, and talk about yourself in a positive way, because I think in some ways it's like an unintended consequence, right? Like, you don't talk about yourself highly, and right? Like, there's obviously extremes, right? So this is a very nuanced conversation, but I just deeply don't believe in that, because, you know, I think a lot of reasons why people want you to do that is because what it means to them, right? Like, it's, I don't want you to talk high about yourself, because then it becomes I'm uncomfortable because maybe I'm unhappy with my choices that I'm making, right? And you see that in, you know, social media. And I joke with my wife all the time, right? Because like, I just got into social media probably a year and a half ago. So I was building my businesses and, you know, I love getting out there, shaking hands and kissing babies and stuff. But at some point you realize like you have to, if you really want to grow something, you got to get on social media, have a footprint and all that. And it's funny how at the very beginning, you know, people were like, oh yeah, that's amazing, gung-ho. But the more kind of successful you get, the people start like kind of like not rooting for you as much or engaging and stuff. And a lot of people take that personally. But the reality is, like, you know, a lot of people don't want you to be more successful than them, because then it becomes a referendum on like, what are they doing, right?
And exactly.
And it might not always be mean-spirited, but it's just like you understand that like that's a them thing. So I should not do or talk about myself highly or be really proud about my accomplishments just because it potentially makes somebody else feel bad.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Because at the end of the day, that's their problem, not yours.
100%. 100%.
You know, and I was interviewing somebody the other day, and he was like, you know, you start out online and you say you have your first 100 followers or 200 followers or people that you know, or mm-hmm. people that, you know, you're acquainted with. And you worry about what they think. But when you have an online presence, don't worry about those 200 people, right? Because that's not your audience. Those aren't the people that are going to buy your product. It's everybody else. So you have to, don't worry about what they think. But I know that's true. I mean, I see that all the time, that if I post a picture of me and my son, I get 150 likes.
Yeah.
If I post a picture of me speaking at an event, I get 10 likes.
Yeah, 100%. It's a bizarre thing, right?
Okay.
It doesn't even mean anything, but like I always think about it from like, because I got into economics. I studied because I like behavioral economics, and it is very much like how the masses behave. So I'm always fascinated by it, like psychology. And like getting into social media has been the most interesting thing to me, right? Because how I approached it, and I'm still trying to learn the etiquette and what people do. It's like, if I know you and I have a relationship with you, I don't even care what you're posting. I'm going to like it. I'm going to love it. I might even shoot. I might not even watch it, right? But I notice how, you know, even people with massive followings, right, will get like a tenth of, you know, likes, or, and it's weird how people engage with people, and I'm trying to figure it out, but you're 100% right. Right. Like I can say, hey, I just took down this massive property and stuff, and like, it's, you know, crickets. Right. But yeah, I post a picture of, you know, my son and stuff like that. Then it's like, you know, hundreds or thousands of, and it's just a weird thing how people kind of engage. So I find it fascinating though.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that you just have to ignore. You almost post and ignore, and you don't worry about, you know, what people are saying and things like that. And I've been really lucky that, that I haven't had any negative comments. But I have had comments that were like, that's interesting, because sometimes you wonder why people are making a comment.
Yeah.
You know, like I recently interviewed somebody, and I've gotten a lot of comments on YouTube because of her presence. And there's only been a couple that people love her, and they're like, but the lady interviewing, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, why are you attacking me? You know, like, I'm interviewing her. Like, you know, like I was privileged enough to interview her, and yet you want to make a negative comment about me? I'm like, what did I do? And you just
the world we live in, right? And but that's why it goes back to confidence, right? Because like, even though I identify these things, it's interesting to me. So I like to think about it and stuff. And when you're growing a business, like you need to be conscious of, okay, what's working, what's not working, why, right? You have to go down that rabbit hole. But, and this is why I'm so big on confidence with, especially with my children, because, you know, the approach of like trying to shelter them from this stuff, like it's a problem. That's a lost cause. For me, it's how do I make sure that my kids are as like secure and confident in themselves, so that when they do encounter these things, whether in life or online, that it's not, you know, it's going to suck for a second, but like they're resilient enough to be like, okay, that's not a big deal. And I keep it moving. Right. Like, so it doesn't define who they are. And I think it hurts a lot of people. Like this stuff, like deeply causes pain to a lot of people. And it's because they may not have the most like, you know, highest self-worth or esteem and self-esteem and stuff. So I think it's so critical to make sure that you are happy with who you are. And that's going to help you go so much farther, because you're going to, the bigger you get, you're going to encounter that. Like, salute to all the celebrities out there that put themselves out there. They're doing, like, man, like, how vicious the internet can be. Like, you know, it always sucks. Like, nobody wants to hear it. But if you're happy with yourself, like, you can get over it much quicker.
So before we wrap up, is there anything else? And actually, let's just talk really quickly about your programs, because I want to make sure that we're highlighting some of those, because I think that so many people want to invest in real estate, may not, probably don't want to be a real estate broker or agent, but there's lots of other ways. So can you talk about some of the programs and what people go through and what they learn and the results that they get?
Yeah, for sure. So let me kind of break down my businesses. You know, it's kind of twofold. So, you know, Less or More Capital is my actual, like, investing firm, right? So I actually, people will invest their capital similar to, like, investing in the stock market or something like that to get a return on the money they put in. And it's a great, really, for people that want to get exposure, maybe diversify their portfolio, not just be in the stock market or, you know, maybe in crypto, whatever the case may be, and get a really great return for their money. The STR Millionaires Program was really born out of the idea of people from Baltimore, where I'm from, the military, that saw what I was doing and was like, hey, like, I really want to get into it. Like, how can I invest in the Senate third? And but the reality is some of those guys didn't have 50, 100, 200K to invest in my deals, right? Because I could raise, you know, a couple million dollars, depending on the deal. So what I kind of found, and this is my wife and I, we were like, well, why don't we help people do it themselves? Because truly the greatest benefit you're going to get from real estate is direct ownership, right? That's where you get, like, depreciation. That's where you get the wealth building stuff. And, you know, when you invest just your capital into a deal, that's just a return generally, right? Which is still great, right? If you're a lawyer or an attorney, like, you're looking somewhere to put your money outside of a bank. So when you come into the program, it's really about the community. It's about being around people that, you know, believe in the idea that you can do this, especially relatively quickly if you have the right course and are around the right folks. So it's kind of an education course. So it's modules. And then there's a layer up, which is kind of the mastermind of actually being on coaching calls. And I have a high performance coach and I do strategic coaching lessons. But, you know, our folks come in and, you know, within 90 days can, you know, buy the first property, understand how to set it up, and cash flow, and really supplement, either add to their income. And there are some people that want to, they don't love what they do, right? They don't want to work for somebody and they're happy with, you know, buying 4 or 5 properties, and that cash flow per month can replace the income that they have. So it's all about finding what your goals are and what you want to accomplish, and then creating a roadmap so you can get there as efficiently as possible. And really that's what it's all about. It's like, how do you reach your goals, your income goals, using real estate while building, you know, wealth along the way.
Nice. All right. Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience before we finish up?
I mean, just based off of our conversations, like, I just encourage anyone out there, and I deeply believe this, like, if you have something, a passion, a vision, something you want to accomplish, like, go after it. Like, life is short, and it's cliche as hell, but it's so true, right? Like, I mean, you were telling me about your mom and situation and stuff. Like, we don't have a whole lot of time here. And a lot of people's decisions are driven by fear. And I've yet to meet anyone in old age that has said, hey, I regret the stuff that I did, but I hear it all the time when they regret the things that they didn't do. And I definitely live by that as a principle. And that's why I go after it. And it's paid off.
Love it. Justin, thank you so much. For everybody, if you're interested in his programs, there's a link in the show notes for his website and a link to his programs. And check it out, everybody, because I tell you, real estate is the way to go. It's always has been for decades. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's conversation, and as promised, I'd like to give you more details of what you can expect as a member of the Happiness Solved exclusive community. First, you'll have access to a treasure trove of extra podcast episodes. These episodes dive deeper into the topics we discuss, featuring additional expert interviews only found here.
But that's not all. As a member, you also get access to a series of mindset training sessions. These recordings are tailored to help you understand the how and why your mindset is the most important asset you have, empowering you to achieve your personal and professional goals. And for those of you looking to find a moment of peace in your busy lives, we've got something special: exclusive guided meditations. These sessions are crafted to help you relax, refocus, and recharge. Whether you're a meditation guru or just starting out, there's something here for everyone. Becoming a member is more than just accessing extra content. It's about joining a community of like-minded individuals all on a journey to live life to its fullest and become the best possible version of you. So how can you join? It's simple. Go to happinesssolved.supercast.com and sign up. Don't miss out on this opportunity to deepen your journey with us. Again, that's happinesssolved.supercast.com. And it will also be in the show notes. I am so grateful you're a part of our Happiness Solved family, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your continued support. Again, I am so grateful for you, and I hope that you and your family are healthy and safe, and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Take care, everyone.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.